Hey, Scott here. There's a new season of Theology Lab series on scripture and tradition coming out on the podcast. This is a series about how we read the Bible and learn to think theologically about scripture. Here's some clips from this upcoming season.
The fugitive slave law said that even if a slave escaped to the north, that the northerners were duty bound to return those people to the south. And Frederick is actually talking to his fellow Christians. He said, we hear that these people have used the Bible to justify the fugitive slave law, and they've even evoked Philemon in an attempt to do so. What do you do in that circumstance? He asked the question, what do you do? He says, do you throw the Bible away? He says, no, you do not. He says, you press it to your chest even more closely, and you prove from his pages that God is a friend and not an enemy to the enslaved.
So one of the things that's special about the book is that we take a figure in Luke 2, the prophetess Anna, and we give her a grandniece named Annika, this little girl with a special relationship to a great aunt. That can encompass the parenting relationship, but it encompasses way more. We want to honor that and to recognize that church is made up of way more relationships than just the nuclear family, and that it takes way more for a child to thrive into faith as an adult.
Jesus delivers his parables. There's a lot of poetic devices in those. One of the things that does is it invites us more deeply into the questions of what it means to be human, what it means to love, what it means to be in love with God, with one another, with this world that we're in. Transformation more often happens in the context of wrestling with questions than it does being given easy answers.
The question I'm asking is, what do we do with the language that we've received in text and tradition that is dominantly masculine? How do we think about that well? By attending to scripture, I want to affirm that I think Christians, or I'm happy to practice the continued use of father language for God. But when I say father for God, having studied and marinated in the account of the incarnation, I know that God the Father is not male, and I know that God the Father has invited a woman to be integral in the process of redeeming the universe.
A friend of ours who's also a biblical scholar, and he started weeping. He literally was weeping when he saw the beginning and the end of the book. Can speak volumes to children, but also to adults and theologians. It crosses boundaries.
If God reveals his beauty by becoming ugly, and his holiness by becoming our sin, and the cross reveals what God's truly like, so the cross reveals what God's always been like, including what God was like when he inspired the Bible, maybe we should read the Bible expecting there might be times where God will reveal himself by stooping this distance and entering into solidarity with people, which is what I think he does all the time, because if God is love, he's not coercive. If God is love, he doesn't turn humans into robots, even when he's going to breathe through them.
Episodes for this series will come out at least every other week. You can take a moment, subscribe to the podcast, and you'll catch episodes as soon as they come out. Thanks for listening to Theology Lab. Learn more about Theology Lab at www.theologylab.org.